It's the book of Acts, please, the chapter 20. And the words of the 28th verse, just of that portion that I want to take as my text this morning. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This autumn time, we have been involved in a little series of studies, pictures of the Christian, particularly in the New Testament scriptures. If my count is correct, we have considered 9 pictures in all. There's been 11 messages. Some of those pictures have extended over to particular Sabbath days. This is to be the final message just in the series. And thinking of our text that's before us, that 28th verse, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. We want to think today of the Christian as a sheep in God's flock. You will know there are many references to sheep and to the flock in the Bible. Probably one of the best is the words of Isaiah the prophet, all we like sheep have gone astray. Think of the words there. We like sheep. Notice that there's a likeness been drawn to us in connection with the little sheep themselves. Think of well as what it says, of what the Saviour said in the book of Luke. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Maybe that's a word in season for us at this year's end, a word of encouragement, a word of promise for the days ahead. But there are many references in the Bible that show the comparison between God's people and sheep. We're all familiar with the sheep, particularly those from the farming community that are amongst us. And that familiarity with the sheep, the idea of the Lord using these pictures is to help us better understand our position as the children of the Lord. And I want us to consider some comparisons this morning between sheep and the Christian. You'll notice, first of all, that the sheep is weak. Sheep are not strong animals like a horse or an ox. A sheep is an animal that is weak. And you know, men and women, it's good to see that. It's good to be reminded of that fact, to be reminded of your own weakness. Remember the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, when I am weak, then I am strong. Need to be reminded of your own weakness. You know, that's why sometimes a sickness or ill health comes across our path. Sometimes that's the reason why the Lord allows it. He wants to remind us of our own weakness, the weakness of our bodies and the weakness of our flesh. Because of the weakness of the sheep, there are 2 things that it needs. It needs to be fed. Do you remember Peter? Whenever the Lord restored him again after the period of backsliding, the Lord gave him a new commission. And he said, feed my lambs. And he said, feed my sheep. It's interesting, the exhortation to feed the sheep was given twice. Don't miss that. I want to stress, men and women, that is a work that is vital. That is a work that is prominent in the ministry of the church. You will know, you're familiar with the fact that today the church is under pressure from every side to introduce new activities. In many cases, the things that are being introduced are for entertainment. That is what has priority today. Not the edification, not the teaching, the feeding, not the building up of the people of God. You may have noticed, and I hope you have, on the new doors to this sanctuary, we have this theme of feeding the sheep. The 3 statements that are found in the Bible. Feed the lambs, feed the sheep, and feed the flock. Can I encourage you to look carefully at those words, not just today, but look carefully at them as you come and go weekly. from the house of God. This, men and women, is our great work. This is our great task as a church. This is your great need as the sheep, the people of God, to be fed, and especially to be fed upon the word of God. You think of sheep. Why is it that sometimes they break out? Why is it that they go to another field? It's because they're not being fed where they are. And you know, that's often the case in the church of Christ. Why do people go from one church to another? It's sometimes because they're not being fed properly, sufficiently, in the place where they are. This is the priority. This is the great work of the church of Christ. Another thing that weak sheep need is a flock. The text talks about all the flock. Isn't it true that sheep need to be together? Sheep need the company of other sheep. An isolated sheep is in danger. And I want to remind you of that this morning. You need the support of others. Others of God's people. You need the support of other believers. Do you remember the great exhortation Paul made in the book of Hebrews? We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And then he went on to say, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need a wee bit of fellowship, a wee bit of company. We need others coming alongside with those words of sympathy, those words of encouragement. That's the whole idea, brethren and sisters, of being here together as a congregation, as a flock of God's sheep. Think of the book of Genesis, speaking about man. The Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. And you know, men and women, it's the same with the Christian. It's not good for you as a Christian to be alone. You need fellowship. And I urge you, don't neglect the meetings. Don't neglect the fellowship of God's people here. Think of it, men and women, in this light. An isolated sheep is in danger. It's in danger of being attacked. But even more, an isolated sheep also becomes a danger. Because an isolated sheep leads others away. An isolated sheep leads others astray. And I wonder, is that what you have been doing? Is that the sort of life that you have been living? I want to remind you, men and women, I want to remind you this morning that the New Testament knows nothing of isolated living as far as the people of God are concerned. The place of safety, the place of service for you is within the flock, the congregation of God's people. So sheep are weak. I want you to see as well that the sheep wander. The sheep has a tendency to go astray. There's some hymns that highlight that. There's an old hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." There's another hymn that says, "I've wandered far away from God." Can I ask, brethren and sisters, have you wandered away from the Lord? Is that your condition? As 2014 draws near an end, you're not in the will of God. You're not obeying his voice. You're not living for him. I want to emphasize to you, that's a sad way for you to end this new year. Think again of what Paul said, writing to the Hebrews, "Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Can I ask you, have you let things slip in your life? You've lost ground as a Christian. You've let your service slip. Maybe let the scriptures, the daily reading of the word of God, you've let your supplication slip. Maybe your service, you're not as involved in the work of God as you once were. Maybe even as far as the services here, the meetings, you don't attend as faithfully, don't attend as consistently, as regularly as you once did. Remember, men and women, if the sheep go astray, the lambs will follow. You think of the great responsibility that you have. Great responsibility as an adult. The great responsibility that you have as a parent to the children in your home, to the children in your care. It's a vital thing to live the right life. It's a vital thing for you to keep the right path. so that your life does not lead others astray, others away from the things of God. Remember, if you have gone astray, what you need to do is to cry out for help. When a sheep goes astray, maybe gets itself tangled up in the hedge somewhere, you can hear the sheep bleating and baaing, crying out. And you need to do the same. Cry out for help and cry out for the Lord's mercy. Whenever Peter went astray, and remember he went badly astray, but the Lord forgave him. The Lord restored him. And he will do the same for you, men and women. I urge you, even in this meeting, to cry out for mercy and finish this year, not away from the Lord, but finish this year in fellowship with him. You think for a moment of those that have wandered, those that have wandered from this church, maybe from your Sunday school class, maybe from your children's meeting, the youth fellowship, the youth group. Some have wandered away from the meetings. Some have wandered away from the Lord. We don't see them as much as often as once we did. Can I ask you, if you think of those wanderers, what did you do? Maybe you did nothing. Just let them walk away. Did you go after them? Do you remember it says of the Saviour, one of the great incarnation texts of the Bible, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you ever think of seeking after the wanderer? Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep? The shepherd left the 99 and he went after the one that was lost. Well, brethren and sisters, we need to take that to heart. We need to do the very same. The sheep are weak. The sheep wander. The third thing, think of the sheep being watched. The carol that we sing, while shepherds watch their flocks by night. Luke, in his account of the birth of the Saviour, talking about the shepherds, said they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And you know those words are a picture of the work of the church, and particularly the work of the eldership of the church. They're to watch over their flocks. The word pastor, it comes from the Latin word for shepherd. So a pastor is a shepherd, the shepherd of the flock. He watches over the congregation, watches over the flock of God. George Truett, he was a very famous preacher in Dallas, in Texas, known the world over. Known to the world as Dr. George Truett, but to his own congregation, he was described as Pastor Truett because of his visitation, his pastoral labors, because of his care of the flock and his care of the people. The pastor, the elders, they are the shepherds of the congregation. Can I remind you, men and women, that in your Sunday school work, in your children's work, in your youth work, whatever it is, that you have a flock to shepherd as well. You think of David. His brothers sought to rebuke him and upbraid him with the words, left those few sheep in the wilderness. But remember, David was faithful with the little flock the Lord had given to him at that time. And I want to encourage you to be the same. And if you are faithful with the little things, the Lord will open greater doors and greater responsibilities and greater opportunities to you in days to come. Can I point out to you, men and women, the Lord often tests us in the little things, and especially tests our faithfulness to him. You remember that the sheep can be in danger. Paul spoke here, talking to these Ephesian elders, about grievous wolves. That's how he's describing others and their approach, their attitude, their attack upon the flock. Grievous wolves will come in. You know the greatest danger, men and women, the greatest danger to souls is wolves in sheep's clothing. That's how the Lord describes false prophets, and our land is full of them. Those that want to come with the appearance that they're God's people, but inwardly they're just ravening wolves. There's nothing more dangerous than a wolf coming in the appearance of a sheep or of a lamb. The sheep are in danger. The sheep need to be defended. You think of David as a lad and how that he slew the lion and how he slew the bear. The sheep as well need to be directed, need to be shown the way. Isn't that true? The farmers are aware of that. They know that. out in those eastern lands, they would go before the flock, whereas here we generally come behind. The Saviour said, when he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them. He leads the way, but there's a need for leadership to be given, even in the Church of Christ as well. The sheep can be distressed. Every shepherd, every farmer will tell you that. If the dogs or the wolves come along, how easily the sheep can be worried. How easily the sheep can be troubled. Thinking of all of those things, it's clear sheep need to be watched over. And primarily, as I've said already, that is the work of the eldership of the church. You think of the great statement there in verse 28, the words of our text. You look at it very carefully. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Here's the solemn responsibility. Here's a solemn warning to every elder of the church. Think of those words, take heed. There's a twofold duty. Take heed to yourself, to your own life, to your own walk. But you're to take heed to the flock, to the oversight, to the well-being of the church of God and the congregation of the Lord. I want to say this morning to every elder of the church, and to any here that have ambitions to be elders of this church in days to come, this position, men and women, this task of the eldership, the pastor, the shepherd, is vital to the well-being of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not to be done carelessly or indifferently. It's to be done earnestly, faithfully, and diligently. You remember what the Bible says about the office of the elder. Think of the actions. Peter said, writing to the elders, we are as examples to the flock. The importance of example. It's not true of us all, men and women. The importance of the example that you set could not be stressed enough. Your life ought to be, particularly thinking of the oversight, your life ought to be an example to the congregation in your service, in your attendance, in your prayers, your giving, your faithfulness. We ought to be examples to the flock. Think as well of the account of the eldership. Paul, in the book of Hebrews, said that they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Can I stress that to all in the meeting, but especially the elders? There's a day coming when we will have to give an account. Stand before the Lord. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord, Paul said to the Romans. And men and women, we need to live with the judgment day in view. You remember the Saviour is called the shepherd. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He's described as the chief shepherd. Peter said, when the chief shepherd shall appear. And you know, that's the day when the Lord comes again. That's the day you'll have to report to him, give the account of your work and of your labours. You think of on the farm, when the boss, the head man appears. I was sitting last night with some of the children, chatting to them at the supper table. Little Tyler says to me, are you the boss here? I thought it's not so bad that somebody knows who's the boss about this place. But you think of on the farm, there's a day the boss will come, the head man appears, and one of the first things he'll want is a report. And so it is with the Lord, men and women. When the chief shepherd shall appear, Peter goes on to say, ye shall receive a crown of glory. In other words, what he wants to do is this. He wants to encourage you to labour so as to get the reward when the day is done. It's possible, men and women, to lose your reward. You can lose your reward as a Christian. You can lose your reward as an office bearer, the chief shepherd. Live with the judgment day in view. I want to say to the congregation, as you think of these things, think of the responsibilities of the eldership, you have a responsibility too. I have not time to go into all of those things, but I just want simply to exhort you to do this. You need to remember the elders, the shepherds of the flock. Remember the work they do. Remember the responsibility they have. You need to pray for them faithfully and earnestly. Pray also that in days and years to come, that this witness might be carried on, that the Lord will raise up more faithful elders amongst us. You need to give your support to the elders of the church. You need to accept their guidance and accept their oversight. Remember that they are laboring for your good. They are laboring for the honor of the Lord and for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's one other thing I'll mention to you today about the sheep. That is their worth. Sheep have a worth. And that was especially true in ancient times. Sheep were a part of the wealth of the family. The great worth of the home was often determined by the sheep that there was in the family. I want you to think, men and women, about the wool. You think about the offspring. You think about the meat. Think about the milk. That is true. We may not think so much about the milk today, but it was true in those ancient times. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" So I want you to see the sheep have a value. The sheep have a worth. To lose a sheep, and it's still true today, was a very costly thing, a very expensive business. But I want you to think of yourself. And I want to ask, men and women, is your life of any worth? Is your life of any value to the Lord? Are you a useful Christian? A useful believer? Are you a useful member of this church? A useful member of the local flock, the local congregation of the Lord? The old hymn, "Is your life a channel of blessing?" Just ask yourself that this morning. Peter said, "As every man hath received the gift, even so ministereth he one to another." And that's what the Lord wants you to do with the gifts that he's given to you. He wants you to use them in the ministry of the church and in the furtherance of the cause of Jesus Christ. Francis Ridley Havergal, the great hymn writer, was in Germany on one occasion. Her father was over there visiting with some colleagues. He had an eye problem. He thought he could get some treatment that would be of help to him. They stayed in the home of a friend and a colleague, another minister. And when Frances Ridley Havergal was in that home, she was sitting in the minister's study one evening, and there was a picture on the wall of the crucifixion. And on the bottom of the picture were these words, "All this I did for thee, what hast thou done for me?" And she wrote one of her most famous hymns as a result of that experience that night. But I want you to think of those words, men and women. "All this I did for thee." You think of the cross, the sufferings of Christ, his sacrifice on Calvary. "All this I did for thee. What hast thou done for me?" I want to urge you, men and women, live a life of worth, a life of value in the cause of God and the Church of Christ, a life especially that will be of value to the Lord himself in his service. I'll say this to you as I finish. You think of the words of the shepherd's psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can I ask you, is that your experience? Can you say that today? He's not just a shepherd, but he's yours personally. Do you know him as your Saviour? How important that is, men and women. If you're going to be one of the Lord's sheep, if you're going to be in the flock, you need to know the shepherd. And you need to know him personally as your Saviour. Remember, if you're not among the sheep, that means you're among the goats. And that's a very solemn thing, men and women, because what that means is one day a division will be made. There is a division in this meeting. We do not draw the line and get the believers on one side and the unsaved on the other, but there is a division. You know it to be true in this meeting. But you think of the farmer, he often carries out that task that is known as shedding. They bring the sheep down through the crush and one goes one way and one goes the other and so on. Well, that's going to happen, men and women, at the time of the end. There's going to be a great shedding take place. The goats on the one side and the sheep on the other. How will it be with you? Which side will you stand on that great day when before the Lord? Do you know what the Lord will say to the goats, to the unsaved at that time? He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Wouldn't that be an awful thing for you to have lived the life that you did and to have attended this church and to have heard the gospel as you have so often, so plainly, and yet to go to a lost eternity? I want to urge you men and women to come to Christ. Hanley Mole was a very famous Church of England bishop in Durham for many years. He was one of the first ever to own a motor car in this country. And the motor car had the registration J1011. He said that represented John 10 and 11. That great verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I want you to think about the good shepherd. As we finish this morning, gave his life, died on Calvary's cross. Are you one of the sheep? Have you received him into your heart to be your saviour? I want you to always remember when you read the 23rd Psalm that it's a psalm all about Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd men and women is the saviour. I am the good shepherd. And he gave his life. He died on the cross. And he wants today to be your saviour. And he wants you to go away today being able to say, mine. He's my shepherd. And he's my saviour too.